is the place.
But did you, were you in the, was your father in the business of selling?
Yes.
He was, because...
Yeah, since I could ever remember, but way back. Yeah. And I may have been in the late 50s or early, around the, by the late 50s. 1950s.
And you joined in?
Well, yeah, when I graduated, I worked like semester breaks, school, summer, and then got in full time when I graduated college.
What was it like back then? This is in the 70s when Hudson?
1976, yeah.
So
April 1st, we opened up April Fool's Day.
And how was it received, the business? Did it pick up?
It received very well, yeah. You know, people are curious, and they stopped in. A lot of people came in to welcome us to the area, and you know, we took care of people. We did the very best we could to make sure everybody was taken care of properly. Our goal was to never hurt anybody, and we weren't looking to get fat and on any one customer. It just, we didn't deal that way. We were unorthodox in the way we did business. We didn't look at dollar signs every time a customer walked in the door. So we really took care of the people locally. We had a lot of business from New York City. And we just generally took care of people the way they wanted. Yeah, our philosophy was treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
And we didn't look to hurt anybody. And we succeeded for 31 years.
What was it like when you first came to us in your first recollection? I mean, you came up here in the 70s somewhere, right?
Yeah, 1970. Well, we opened the dealership in 76 and moved here in 77.
So were you at that time, Hudson was different than today, I think.
Oh, gosh. I'm talking to you at McDonald's, and there's a light on Fairview.
Yeah.
And that light wasn't even there.
No.
This building wasn't even here. It was totally different. I don't even think there was a light on Healy Boulevard in 66, if I recall. Yeah, there wasn't a light. So, I mean, that's how less the traffic was. And of course, we lost a lot of department stores that used to be here. And it's grown. You know, now we have Walmart. We have all these the shopping center. We never had that. It was a lot less populated, a lot more farmers. A lot of our customers were the farmers. So it's just totally different.
You had a rental division too, because today there's a rental car, Enterprise,
yes.
But it sounds like your Stan Martin had rentals.
We had rental cars, but so did
others.
So did Lincoln Mercury, so did the Chevy. We all did, but again, Enterprise wasn't here at the time.
No.
When they came in, we pretty much gave up it wasn't really a moneymaker.
Yeah.
But I did meet a lot of people. I did meet a lot of, again, stars by renting cars to them. Because Al Franken, Gene Shalit, as I said, and there were others, even Marie Saint. So that part of the business we lost, because you never know who's going to come up and visit from out of town.
What now, eventually, you closed the dealership. Was that something because of economics, or just it was just too many years work?
No. It was the economics.
Was it?
All the other dealers had closed. Lincoln Mercury had closed. The Chevy dealer had closed. Chrysler Plymouth sold out to Dodge, and they moved out to Route 66 and 9H. There was nobody here. People like to shop where there's action. You go over to Catskill, and that's where, you go dealership to dealership.
Yeah.
I remember I'd be working on Sundays doing paperwork, ordering cars and stuff. I look out the window, and there were people all over the place. Then I see they went across over to Lincoln Mercury, because I could see the lots. And when they all left, there was nobody on our lot. Nobody, because people aren't going to drive a distance to go to one place just to look on a Sunday. They want to go where the action is, where they can go to dealership and look. So everyone said how lucky we were. Everybody's moving out. And because we have a lock in all the business, and it turned out to be the exact opposite.
Oh.
People want to go where that's why you have McDonald's, you have Burger King, the drugstores are all, they all want to be next to each other. They want to be where the action is. And there's a reason, so when everybody moved out, our motto was the last of the little guys, and and we were the last.
And you had a repair center too.
Yes.
Because when I moved here in 2005, you were still here.
Yeah, 2007 is when we...
Things have changed in 13 years, even with me. They didn't even have a light. They didn't have Walmart. That whole thing was not even there.
No, absolutely not. No.
It was just a field. It may have been things, but it was things have changed. There were hardly the restaurants. Now there's every restaurant you want.
Well, no, and of course, when I moved up here, Warren Street was all mom-and-pop stores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was fun. I need shoes, like Dan and Siegel's shoes, you know, and you knew them. You know, the drugstore, the shoe store, there were clothing stores. You had all that, and it was all local. You had an appliance store. You had so many things. And I'm not saying whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I just think my own personal opinion is when all those people retired, who's going to take over? And if nobody did, you would have had an empty street. But so the antique dealers came up. And again, there's a lot of hot debate whether that's good or bad or indifferent, but my feeling is, if they weren't there, who would be there? Because, you know, who's going to take over those mom-and-pop stores? Now, you know, Walmart came in. Did that hurt? You know, that put all them all out of business and this and that. I don't know. You know, that's not my job to judge that. But I just feel that when those stores in Hudson were going to close at some point, what was going to happen? So it was a different feeling. You felt like you knew everybody, and you know it was. You know, you go down the street and in the car. And, hey, Bob. Hey, Joe. Hey, Bill. You know, and
people used to probably beep and
yeah.
What, did your family live in Greenport or Hudson when you?
When we first moved up, we were in Greenport. Actually, in the apartments I lived in then, I'm living in now. So it came full circle.
Oh.
And then we moved to Claverick and rented a house. And then the owner was selling the house, so then we moved to Valencia. And then from Valencia, we had a four-bedroom home, and my mom had passed away, so my father said, we don't need this.
Wow.
So he was living with me and vice versa. So we moved back down to an apartment right here.
Wow.
To be closer to the dealership. It's 1 mile away. So it's, we came full circle, and Hudson and Greenport have grown.
Mm-hmm.
Grown tremendously. It's unbelievable the difference between now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, more traffic lights. Well.
And sounds like Ronald McDonald Charities, is that involved with that? You seem to be in charities.
Yes.
That's your big...
Yeah, I was... I've been a friend of the house well over 30 years, probably closer to 40 now. And then they asked me if I'd like to serve on the board of directors. I think, I'm not sure if that was a 4 or 6 year term, but whatever it was, I did it. And then the executive director of the house, who's currently the executive director, he was serving with me on the board. He used to work for the Times Union Center.
Oh, hey.
And then he marketing, and then he became the general manager of the Palace Theater. Mm-hmm. So he's now the executive director of the Ronald McDonald House. He had the idea... matter of fact, we voted him. He had to leave the room, and we voted him in as executive director. The position was open. He applied for it. He said that was his dream job. So he came up with an idea of the canister money. You know, when you put the canister money in McDonald's, whether it be the drive-thru or the counter, they used to have a service picking up that money.
Oh.
So, like, let me just use an example, like a Brinks. Or, it wasn't armored cars, but it was a service. So he came up with the idea of doing it in-house, where... me representing the house, I go in, and people could ask me all these questions about the Ronald McDonald House, and I would know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
A service, they don't work for the house. They don't know. So they could just say, hey, I really don't know. You'll have to call them. Well, the board of directors went along with it, and they hired me. I was looking for a part-time job, and they hired me to do that. We had a territory. We went out as far as Bennington and Manchester, Vermont. We had 8 stores in Massachusetts, went down as far as the Thruway Saugerties rest area. They have a McDonald's. As far west as the old Beechnut plant, way out west.
Oh, yeah.
As far north as Warrensburg. And we had, I think, when we started about 72 stores that we collected the money from. Over the course of the 5 years I was with them, between me, myself, and eventually they hired somebody else because my boss had so many, he couldn't keep going out on the road, so they hired a second guy. We handled over $1 million of cash for the house.
Eric, this was a great interview, a lot covered. I knew nothing except that you were the son of Stan Martin. Didn't know much more.
Can I just say one thing?
Okay, what?
Everything I was able to do, and everything I'm telling you outside of the business, I say was because of the business. It allowed me to do that.
Oh, okay.
It allowed me. I wasn't, you know, I owned the business, so I didn't, you can't go, you can't get the time off. If I needed the time off, I could do what I wanted to do.
Wait, were you running it at the end of this time?
No, actually my father
Your
was
father
working well
was there?
Until his 80s. Yeah, I mean, he was slowly...
Yeah, so you were together.
Yeah. Yep, right through the end.
But you were able to, you had time... Even with your dealership to do these things.
Yeah, because I mean I was pretty much working 6-7 days a week, so if I needed a day.
My goodness, I was thinking, well, you, not everybody has the time outside of their work. A lot of people get tied up with families.
Yep. But I made time because that's not just a love, that's a passion. I had a passion for helping send kids to Disney World. I mean, through Lions and the agency of New Jersey. I mean, there's so many more stories I could tell what I did for the kids. Some of it I didn't make public because it's a private matter.
Yeah.
You're doing it for publicity. I said, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, the publicity's nice if I get it, but if I don't get it, it was in my heart to do what I did and still do. I'll still help anybody, anywhere, any way I can. If it's feasible or I can do it, I'm going to do it. That keeps me going.
That's great.
It's more than a hobby. It's a passion. I love it. I love making kids happy. I love making adults happy. If I can get a smile out of somebody and a thank you for doing something special for somebody, what more can you say?
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for such a great time. I've just been totally mesmerized listening to these stories that could go on. Yeah.
And I want to write a book about all my hockey experience. But I won't do it. I know you got but I've got a lot more I can tell you.
This is Eric Martin. I'm interviewed today at McDonald's in Hudson about all the charitable things he has done and involved with the community. Again, I want to thank you so much to being on my little show.
Well, I'm honored you asked. I appreciate it, and I thank you.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a sustaining supporter. And what that means is every month, GXC, the kind folks here at GXC, will alert you to the fact that you are money is being taken from your credit card. Not a lot. Whatever you ask for, whatever you say you were willing to give, be it $5, be it $100, it's there. They let you know, and you then you don't even have to worry about it. They'll ask you if you want to give that month, and you do, and you don't even know it's gone. You know, it's like it's so much harder. If I had $5 in my pocket and someone said, "Please give me that for the WGXC," I'd say, "Hey, I need it for my coffee, my whatever." But if you're never even saw it and it's online and it's your credit card, you don't even think about it.
Saugerties band The Rough Shapes played their surf rock December 1st at High Low in Catskill, and here's what the opening song sounded like.
We did a record a couple of years ago with our friend Brian Goss. This is one of those songs from that record.
Thank you. Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website www.commongroundinc.org.
The Refugees and Immigrant Support Service, EMAIS, or RISE, is an organization that serves refugee families in Albany. Board member Mike Wilk and Director of Development Cheryl Lasher are here now to tell us all about it. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
So what is RISE and what do you do exactly?
Well, RISE is an organization that helps refugee families. We are based in an educational program trying to help people become functional in English, both literacy and language. And we have both adult programs and an after-school program for youth. We're the only year-round English program in the Capital Region. And we have morphed into having a number of other kinds of programs in support of those goals. For example, we talk about teaching life skills so that we help people to learn how to use public transportation, how to access medical care, how to use the library. We also help them learn how to do a job search and generally to be able to establish sustainable lives here.
Can you both tell us about how you got involved in the organization?
Well, I was pretty involved when I was pretty involved with the immigrant and refugee community when I lived in Washington, D.C. Huh. I moved up here for work about a year and a half ago, and I was concerned that I wasn't going to be able to stay as involved. And one of the first days I was back, I just happened to stumble upon a profile of RISE's executive director. The same day I reached out to the organization, and within 6 months I was on the board and volunteering. Wow. So, yeah, it's...
That's what happens, you know, when you show up places. You yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So please volunteer.
And I actually came across RISE in sort of the same kind of way. I'm a board member for Habitat for Humanity of the Capital Region, which is both Albany and Rensselaer counties. And Habitat received an award for its work with refugee families. And the same day, so did RISE. And we're at a presentation at City Hall in Albany, and I ran into an old friend of mine, and I was kind of trying to decide what I wanted to do next in my life. And she said, oh, you really should go to RISE. They could really use your skills. And so I approached them, but they weren't really ready to hire at that point. Well, after two more unrelated sets of people told me the same thing, I circled around, and kind of the rest is history. I've been with them now for about a year and a half.
So what sort of activities are you directly involved in, you know, since you circled back and, you know, threw your hat in the ring? What exactly are you working on for them now?
I do all different kinds of efforts for fundraising. I started out, and certainly my strong point is writing grant applications and being able to look at all the variety of kinds of things that we qualify for. Some are educational, some are community, some are youth programs, and to be able to reach out to whatever money is available there. I also lead the fundraising efforts, which there's an old saying that, you know why people give? Somebody ask them. So that's sort of been my mantra since joining RISE, that, you know, we just need to get out and ask people and tell them what we do. You know, we serve about 200 refugee families a year. And so you add that up since 2007, it's been a lot of people and a lot of impact.
So we live in a time of growing anti-immigrant sentiment. What does this really mean for RISE and your constituents?
I think that the biggest impact right now is that we see all of our families having a higher level of stress and having a larger number of needs than they used to. So for all staff of RISE and all volunteers, we really need to keep that in mind, that these are very delicate times, and what's happening in the world is affecting these people first and foremost, and they are people. They are not headlines. They are coming to us for help, and it is our job to help make things possible for them. Right now, it's taking a lot of extra work and in some cases a lot of extra patience, but at the end of the day, that's what we need to keep reminding ourselves.
Well, and when I'm working on grants, a lot of times they'll say, how are you going to measure your impact? And one of the first goals that we have is to be nurturing, to let people know that they are in a safe place, or as safe as we can make it for them. And I'm not sure how you measure that, but right now the three leading areas that we have people coming from are Afghanistan, Syria, and the Congo. And also Southeast Asia, so there's four. But I think if you read headlines, you know what the people are suffering and what they're coming through and the incredible journeys that they've taken to get here. So the first thing we try to do, and particularly for the children, is to let them know they're in a safe place, that they're welcome. And having kids who've been through similar experiences, it really helps them. You know, nobody makes fun of them for their accent or, you know, their color or their religion or, you know, it's sort of like we're all in this boat together, which helps.
So they're able to really support each other along with the staff support.
Yes.
To sort of deal with the transition, because it has to be a tremendous transition no matter how you get here, just coming here. Has to be stressful. I mean, if I move to another city, I'm under like incredible stress, right? My favorite coffee shop is not there. All my friends aren't there. I've got first world problems, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I survived the New York DMV when I moved here, and I think I'm still traumatized about that a year later.
You know, I'm dreading going down. I have to go down, and I'm like putting it off.
We can have a support group for that.
So,
yeah, so I was just, you know, thinking about kind of the political context right now. What does that mean, not just for like the people who you're dealing with or who you're working with, but also what does it mean for fundraising? I mean, like, you know, we have a hard time here, like trying to get like funding through like arts programs. But what does it mean to try to get fundraising under the current administration?
Well, what it means is that there's very little available through federal funding. Fortunately, we're in New York State. And so there have been a variety of resources for us through New York State Education Department and other departments. But the other thing is, having the bad news of the current climate has been good for fundraising, because people who appreciate what we do, are empathetic, can remember their grandparents came from another country, have been helping us. And so, you know, not that we aren't always in need, because we run a very lean operation, but you know, people have stepped up, which has been a beautiful thing.
Not just with money, but with time as well. Mm-hmm. The number of volunteers has been really something wonderful to see.
Mm. Yeah, I just got a call this week from a couple who have marketing skills, and they can't write us a check, which is just fine. But what they're going to do is help us to develop a Google business page and a LinkedIn page for RISE, which are really valuable for us. Mm. So there are all different kinds of ways people interact with us, and it's all positive.
So if someone has a skill and they're listening and they can't write a check, they can call you and say, listen, I have this skill. I want to barter my skill towards your cause. I want to give this to you as a gift. They can do something like that as well?
That's exactly how I got involved in RISE. I'm an immigration lawyer by trade. So I went to www.rise-albany.org and I filled out my volunteer application and I said, here's what I can help with. And, you know, within 2 weeks, I was on site doing my thing.
Wow. I never would have guessed you were a lawyer.
I'm incognito most of the time.
Just take off the tie.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, it's great because we have a variety of things that people have done just that. We had a young man over the summer and then followed by a woman this fall who come in and just do small repairs for us. Mm. We have the Yale alumni group came in and painted hallways and bathrooms for us and